In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think I'm going to play it safe and stay away from the latter part of the gospel, my wife having borne four children. I don't think I want to talk about whether she remembers the anguish or not. But Jesus speaks of his Holy Spirit early on in the sacred text, and so that will be our focus for today. The Holy Spirit does three chief things. He convicts us of sin, he convicts us of righteousness, and he convicts us of judgment. This is still the work of the Holy Spirit in his Holy Church to this day. So the Spirit, firstly, then convicts us of our sin. And he does this simply because we are sinners. We sin. But why is it, though, that we fall into sin seemingly so easily? Are we really that undisciplined? Are we really that lazy? Well, yes, we are. But we mainly sin because we do not fully trust in the Son of God. That's why we sin. We don't trust everything that he's done for us. In our self-centeredness, this kind of it's all about me mentality, we think that God is holding out on us, that he doesn't care about what we want or what we need, that he's not providing for us in the best way that he can. And so what do? We reach out and we take it for ourselves. That's exactly what we do, and we do it over and over and over again. If we fully trusted in God, we would not sin. Unlike Eve and Adam in the garden, we would wait for God to give us all that we wanted. We would wait upon the Lord. We would trust that without a doubt, he knows best and cares for us. And we would not ignore his commandments in the way that we do. And we do. Because surely they are meant to help us and not hurt us. Not to hold out on us. But we do not. We do not. Our faith is generally weak. Deep down in our hearts of hearts, we think that we are smarter than Jesus. We think that we are nicer than Jesus. And we think that we love ourselves more than Jesus loves us. We do. That's precisely why you sin. And it's precisely why your sin never works out the way that you thought it would. Because Jesus does, in fact, care for you and love you more than you do yourselves. The commandments and the whole law of God, they aren't just arbitrary rules for you to follow. You know, they're not just these kind of guidelines meant to break you and teach you who the boss truly is, like the way that some fraternities do. The people who want to join through these various acts of submission. Think of gossip. Oh boy. Why is gossip prohibited? Bearing false witness. Which commandment is that, by the way? I'll test you here. What commandment? The eighth commandment. Right. Well, it's prohibited because there is no good that comes from it. Because it doesn't just hurt, shame, and dishonor those that you talk about. It also hurts you and that person that you're speaking it to. That's the nature of gossip. And let me ask you this. How many times have you gone and spoken ill of another person? How many times have you gossiped and then regretted it? But when is it that you have restrained yourself? When is it that you have not said something hurtful, that you've told the truth instead of a lie? Spoken well of another person, even your enemy, and then afterwards regretted it? And I'll tell you, it's never. Never have you ever regretted that. Because God's holy law is for our benefit. It's for our good. It shows us what good actually is. It shows us the best way to live, what we were made for, and how this life, even this fallen life, is the most satisfying. But we have broken it, and we continue to break it. We have failed at it, and we continue to fail at it. We have acted foolishly and selfishly. We have hurt countless other people. We have hurt ourselves. We have dishonored our God. We have not believed that Jesus' will for us is good and that He loves us above all else. The fallen sons and daughters of Adam, we love to wallow in sin. We love to just kind of fester in it. I don't know what it is about us that loves this so much. And it's the Holy Spirit's work to convict us of it, to smack us in the face and to hold it up to us and show us our sin. And then in His mercy to call us right out of it. So that's the first thing that the Spirit does for us. But that's not all that He has to say. He also convicts us of righteousness, the Spirit does. Because Jesus has gone to the Father, you are righteous. You are righteous. Jesus has come to the earth and taken up our flesh, made Himself a sacrifice for sin, defeated death and hell and the devil, and then gone to heaven to His Father as a man for you, all that He could plead His case, your case, to His Father. And now, because of Him, your Father. He has opened heaven to all believers. You are righteous because Jesus has paid your debt in full, in bloody love. Yes, you are most certainly a sinner, to be sure. Don't you ever forget that. But the Spirit causes us to rejoice even in the midst of that truth, that painful reality. Because Jesus Himself, the Spirit says, came precisely for sinners. Jesus came for me, a sinner. Those who are unconverted in the faith hate to be called sinners. They hate it because they're essentially being told that they're wrong about something. They're wrong about something that they've done, and no one likes to be told that they're wrong. But the conviction that we are sinners to someone who is deeply faithful, it's not bad, it's not an insult at all. Because it tells us that we are a people who are in love, or love so incredibly much by God, that He would even send His own Son to come and die for that love. And the Holy Spirit declares that because of what Jesus has done for us in Him, we are now righteous. When we feel nothing but worthlessness, when sin pierces and stabs our conscience, when we feel like, how in the world could we ever escape this hell that we have brought ourselves into? This pain, it's the Holy Spirit that points us directly to the marks on the Savior's hand, the Savior's feet, and declares that there in the blood-stained flesh of Jesus, our debt has been paid in full. There, justice is satisfied. Neither the law nor Satan have any more valid and lasting accusations to make to us. We have His exact same righteousness. This is exactly what the Spirit takes from Jesus and declares to be yours in the Scripture in verse 14 today. The Lord makes a great exchange for us. He takes your sin, your guilt, your shame, your mortality, and exchange for them by the Spirit's declaration, He gives you what is His. Everything that is His. He gives you His righteousness, His purity, His holiness, His perfection, His love, the service of His angels, even His holy name He gives to you. He opens up heaven that you might enter in forever. All that's His is attributed to you for the sake of Jesus Christ. Just declared by the Spirit to be yours forever. He takes what is yours, and He gives you what is His. It is not a fair exchange, but it is love. It is mercy, and it is grace. And it is the way of the Lord Jesus, and it is the only way that He will have. The Spirit seeks to convict you of this, and by convict you of this, that means is that He is to convince you of this, so that you believe it, so that you trust it. That for Jesus' sake, because of the work He's done for you, you are righteous and beloved of the Father. Now, if the Holy Spirit were to convict you of your sin and then just stop there, nothing else, if He only preached the law to you, who is it that would be pleased, do you think? The devil. That's who. The devil. Because if Satan and the rest of the demons had their way, we would most certainly have an unhealthy focus on the law. He would convince us that they are the height and the highest symbol of all that we are as Christians. He would have it to where we never escaped. We could never crawl out from underneath the law and the weight of it. If the devil were to have his way, all that we and the rest of the world would know is that first conviction, that we just simply can't live up to the law, and therefore we are sinners, and period. That's it. End of story. The law is good. The law is absolutely good. But the devil loves it. Why? The devil loves the law because in our misunderstanding of it, the law is one of his chief allies, a fellow prosecuting attorney, a co-counsel, so to speak. The law always seems to only accuse fallen creatures like us. Well, so does the devil. Remember the temptation of our Lord. The devil uses the word of God for his purposes, for what he would have. Which are always the same, to maim and to weaken, to destroy and to kill. What Satan despises is not the word of God. Oh no. What Satan despises is the proper use of God's word. Remember that. He despises the proper use of God's word. The devil loves to confuse the law and the gospel with one another, and by it lead us straight down the path to hell. The Spirit convicts, you are a sinner. And we say, amen, yea, verily. And so I know that because I am a sinner, Jesus Christ came precisely for me. But there is more. See, the devil wouldn't only stop there, but he would twist it, and he's good at it. Because his method is always to show us a twisted, a distorted picture of our God. He preaches the law through his servants, his false teachers, as though you can do it, as though you can live up to the law, as you can obtain the good, and always avoid the evil, the bad in the commandments by not doing them. And he preaches that you can do that just by giving it all that you've got, just by doing your best, just by trying. Because what does he say? He says, see, the Holy Spirit and I agree. We are of one mind with one another. You are a sinner. Now all you need to do is try harder, Satan says. Now all you've got to do is work. By this, he would either lead you to despair, because no matter how hard you try, you would never make it on your own. You would never live up to the law. You would fail every time. Or he would teach you and lead you down into the road of delusion by self-righteousness. And he would teach you to actually compare yourselves to others. To actually measure yourselves against them to see how good or how bad you're doing. Pastors are especially bad about that one. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, but he does it differently than Satan. The Lord, the giver of life, doesn't hold the law as a promise to be attained or a goal to be reached. It's simply a statement of fact. He says, you are indeed a sinner. You deserve condemnation. You deserve nothing less. But the Spirit goes on. Yes, he uses the law in mercy in order to expose you, in order to convict you even, but only to till the hard and rocky soil of your heart and prepare it for the gospel. Yes, he uses the law as a hammer, praise be to God, but only to drive you into Jesus, the Son of God. And while the law is a hammer, the gospel is a gavel that slams down and declares you to be righteous, innocent, and justified. That is the sentence of heaven upon you. You are a saint of the Most High God. The devil has slandered you. He has tormented you. He has chased you and tempted you. And he is judged and he is condemned because of it. He cannot do this to you, my brethren. You are sons and daughters of heaven. You are princes and princesses of heaven. Because you are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, the eternal God. He cannot do that to you and get away with it. And so Satan is to be chained in eternity for his arrogance and his assault against you, you princes and princesses. His power was always an illusion. But now the smoke is gone. It has dissipated and he has nothing left. He is judged and there is no one left to accuse you. You are judged. And because of Jesus Christ, you are joined to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. And so the Holy Spirit does three things. He convicts of sin, he convicts of righteousness, and he convicts of judgment. And thanks be to God, he does them all in mercy and love for you. And he does them all in the mighty name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.